This episode contains scenes that some viewers may find offensive. Please check the show notes for more information. The tube station cleaner opens a storage cupboard under the stairway. The light flickers on as he flips the switch, but then, with a short zip, the bulb goes dark. Damn, Edward whispers to himself, and with a sigh, he reaches inside, groping in the darkness, and retrieves an old wooden broom with splayed bristles and a grey shovel. Locking the door as he leaves, he walks with a slight limp, unaided by his long overalls that drag on the floor. Kids had left sweet wrappers under one of the benches in the station. The caretaker begins to sweep the rubbish onto his shovel, but then something soft and squishy rolls under the bristles of the broom. He looks down and inspects the object. His eyes aren't what they used to be, and neither are his knees, so he scrapes the shovel against the floor to pick up a small creature. Whatever it is, it's dead. He brings the shovel close to his face to get a better look. A mouse, maybe? No, this thing looks like a small baby. The caretaker starts to panic as thoughts and images rush through his head. What is this? A fetus? It looks like it could be an abandoned fetus. He yells to his boss, who runs down the stairs and with his feet slapping against the ground, runs over to where Edward is stood. He takes one look at the remains on the shovel, jogs back to his office, and calls the police. A children's toy was rushed to hospital after being mistaken by paramedics and police for a fetus. It emerged yesterday. The alien egg, which resembles a tiny baby curled into the fetal position and is covered in sticky slime, was found hidden among sweet wrappers by a cleaner at Buckhurst Hill Tube Station, Essex, on Monday night. He scraped it off the floor with a shovel and took it to the station supervisor, who, believing it to be a fetus, called the police. British Transport Police contacted Scotland Yard, who called the ambulance. A policeman accompanied the fetus in the ambulance to Whipps Cross Hospital. It was only when a doctor examined the find that it was discovered to be a toy. That was an audio reenactment of a news article published on Wednesday the 3rd of November, 1999. The article is from The Guardian, a popular British newspaper. When I read that, I couldn't help but think back to the aliens I used to own as a kid, as I'm sure you're doing now. The way they were posed in the fetal position, their legs and arms all curled up. Looking at them now, I can kind of see how someone may have become slightly confused if they hadn't seen them before. Or maybe not. Either way though, come on. The most disgusting toy in the world. Whether you think that you would have mistaken the alien toy to be a fetus or not, this wasn't an isolated incident. The article goes on to report that this happened on four separate occasions. That's people calling the authorities about these creatures. They were weird though, right? For those of you who don't know, or simply can't quite remember, these toys were a massive craze back in the late 90s and early 2000s. I remember buying them from a local corner shop. It was a plastic egg which split down the middle when opened. This thing popped apart at the seam and was very much the vessel or habitat of the little alien that lived inside. I've got one with me now. Firstly, the alien is all curled up just like, you guessed it, a fetus. It has big bulging veins on its cranium, and on closer inspection, you can see that it has pointy ears. I don't remember if they all had these elven-style shaped ear holes, but at least some of them did. This little guy is accompanied by a big wad of slime too, and who the hell knows why? I guess it's to keep him hydrated? The aliens are made of this jelly-style rubber material, so I assume that it needs moisture to prevent it from drying out. Or maybe it's put there as the alien's food? Like the non-yolk part of an egg. These alien eggs were introduced to the UK at some point in the late 90s. But the trend did spill into the early 2000s, with slightly updated versions being released over the years. The updated versions really played on the urban myth that the aliens would have sex and even give birth. Yes, that's correct. The popular myth around these alien egg toys was that if you put two of the creatures back to back and sealed them inside the plastic egg from which they came, they would reproduce. Now, this theory was obviously tested by many, and when it didn't work, all kinds of methods to force reproduction came into play. Some tales told mentioned that you had to find aliens of the opposite gender, which could be determined by their arms. Aliens with their arms folded were apparently a different gender to those which were unfolded.
You have to put them in the freezer, one kid told me.
The microwave, said another. I never tried the microwave idea, because even as a kid, I knew that that would not turn out well. But I do remember putting them in the freezer at one point. Okay, so we're going to take a little break, so hold on tight, we'll be back after these messages. And by we, I mean me and the mouse in my pocket. So, it's just me. I'm back just as promised, so let's get straight to it. Looking back now, of course the whole breeding thing was a fallacy. But hearing those rumours as a kid, you can kind of see why children would get sucked into this belief. The myths must have got back to the toy company because, as I mentioned earlier, they decided to monopolise on the whole aliens giving birth idea. HGL brought out a line of aliens that actually could give birth. These were very different to the original kind, being bigger and obviously pregnant looking. They were simply larger toys with smaller aliens stuffed up inside them. And them giving birth was you simply squishing the smaller alien out of the larger one. These versions were called alien birth pods. The original aliens were a great pocket money collectible. Some kids would even perform swaps in order to try and get their aliens to breed, because there was a belief that some aliens were more compatible than others and also that they were different sexes. The craze played on the pop culture of aliens that was around during the nearing of the millennium. There was a big interest in extraterrestrials in the 90s. Movies such as E.T., Independence Day, and TV shows like The X-Files made the subject a hot topic. I remember pretty much every kid owning an inflatable alien at some point in the 1990s. Performing research on this topic hasn't been easy, as most of the websites surrounding the toys no longer exist. A few fan-made pages are still floating around the internet, but gathering official information has been tough. I was, however, able to find some information on the product's creator, Martin Grossman. He was the managing director of his family business, known as H. Grossman, a company based in Glasgow, Scotland. Although Mr. Martin Grossman is now retired, the publisher and MD of the industry magazine Toy World, John Bolsh, accredits Martin as the original creator of the craze. But it's hard to find information on whether it was actually him who designed it. He may have just seen the idea at a Chinese expo and bought the distribution rights. Similar to what we saw happen in the Pogs and Tazos episode, but with that being an American-Mexican crossover. However, Martin may have designed the product and simply had it manufactured in China. Reports from the wholesalers and cash and carry businesses claimed that the demand for the toys was so high that rival shopkeepers would get into fist fights over boxes of the alien eggs. Conspiracy theories about the abandoned fetus scares started circling around the toy industry, as the Guardian newspaper article actually drove sales and placed the product in even higher demand. people started to question whether the whole ordeal was actually planted as a publicity stunt. This alleged allegation was, of course, denied. Some later versions of the alien toys were advertised as coming from the planet Skardox, and there was a website where you could look up the name of your alien and see whether it was a friend or foe. There was even an alien language, which could be translated online. This allowed kids to swap secret messages with their mates. HGL even brought out versions of the aliens that would light up, calling them alien cosmolites. The alien egg toys lost hype in the early 2000s and never really made much of a comeback. With no real playable aspect to the toys, other than the mysteries surrounding them and the legends that followed, it was easy to lose interest. It's safe to say that most children growing up in the UK during the late 90s and early 2000s would have either owned or come across the slime aliens, but I'm unsure of the worldwide impact. The news report that we reenacted at the beginning of the episode stated that 7 million aliens had been sold worldwide. However, that was put out in 1999, and we know that sales continued into the 2000s, and further products were released along the way. A daily record from 2017 reported that the sales figures reached 18 million. I can believe that, as the aliens won the Craze of the Year award twice, once in 1999 and again in 2004. The award was from the Toy Retailers Association, and it's a very well-respected and coveted award. Speaking to most people who were kids around the time and mentioning the fad to them, it almost always brings back old memories and leads to reminiscing about the craze, swapping stories about the breeding myths and what people would do to try and make this fabled event occur. Now that's what I call nostalgia. Remember that references to the show's research can be found in the show notes. Please hit up the show's Instagram page to see some extras, updates, and info regarding today's episode. There you'll see images of alien egg toys, as well as a host of other cool things. You can find that by searching at Vivid Recall Podcast. Come on, you've made it this far, so please do rate the podcast on the app you're listening to it with. It takes seconds and it makes such a difference, so please do help me out by doing this. I'm a one-man show. I literally do everything. All the research, script writing, recording, and editing. So if you do like the podcast, please join others in showing it love by submitting a 5-star review. Just tap the stars on your little podcast app. Make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast. If you're on Spotify, then click the bell to turn on notifications. That way you won't miss future releases. Why not look up at Vivid Recall on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. There you can offer suggestions on topics that you want to hear about in future episodes. So you might be wondering, where else can I listen to the show? Well, not only can you find it on all of the good podcast apps, you can also listen on YouTube. But without further ado, here's a taster of what's in store on the next exciting episode filled with nostalgia. Next time on Vivid Recall. Another alien race from the 1990s have been sent here to learn about our way of life. These creatures also came in an egg. Am I sensing a theme here? Your favourite Japanese keychains are the topic of digital animal husbandry. This ain't no farm simulator, but it will be about virtual pets. Listen to the next instalment, and I'll take you on an audio ride all the way back to 1997, talking about how Tamagotchis changed the way that we play games forever. Not only that, but I'll tell you about the kids who grew up so attached to their digital pets that they had funerals and even buried them in a British cemetery. Yeah, you heard me. So stick around and listen to episode 4, or if it isn't out yet, subscribe so you don't miss it. I'm Andre Tekamp, and you've been listening to Vivid Recall.